Brother, I'm going on a wild Hulk Hogan. If I like get some moment, I'll make sure it's an explosion. Cause lately I've been seeing stars, trying to kick out on this joke course. But it's no hope. What is good, everybody? This is We Too Deep. We're back with another episode of the Slapping Me Wrestling Podcast. And for those who are going to listen to this after the fact on audio, we are live on YouTube for this episode only. Now, I'm not sure how many people are going to be here live with me, but I wanted to offer the opportunity here to I have a question. If you can tell by the name of this episode, I have a question, and it's, can someone explain to me what the hell I'm missing? So let me preface this. This is solely going to be on the Wyatt Six, and I know what y'all are thinking. You're here again. Y'all should just expect this. Y'all should just expect this. This is sort of a gimmick that it's sort of, I don't want to say easy to hate on, because I want to like it, but it's one of those things where my opinion, I have opinions each week as we're sort of formulating what's happening, and it is one of those things where I'm just going to go ahead and speak my mind about it. And so with this week, with me missing Raw this week, sorry, I lost my train of thought there. I didn't pay attention to Raw. I'm just going to be honest with you. College Football 25 came out on Monday, and there was no chance in hell I wasn't going to play it Monday night. And I thought about turning the game off to watch Raw, and I didn't. I'm going to be honest with you. I just didn't. I just sat there and played NCAA football all night long, right? And so I missed all of Raw. Sure, it was a banger, right? And then I already had planned, you know, that I was going to take this week off. So this is sort of like a special thing. This episode, I didn't plan to do this until Tuesday, maybe Wednesday. And it's solely just going to be, let's talk about the Wyatts. Someone explain this to me. And so I missed Raw on Monday. And one of my Discords, you know, co-host here, DJ Wavy D, posts, you know, We Too Deep should like this or whatever, right? And I had no idea what he was talking about. And so I went to YouTube, and I assumed it was about the Wyatts, but I went to YouTube and I checked out only the Wyatt stuff. That's the only thing that I watched on WWE's YouTube was the two Wyatt segments. Now, before we get to those segments, there was another segment earlier in the day off of Raw on the Pat McAfee show that I do want to talk about, right? But this is essentially just going to be my weekly update of where I'm at on this gimmick, and I'm doing it live because I want people to come in here and to explain to me what I'm missing. What am I missing with this gimmick? Because even this week, it didn't really click with me. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to preface sort of where I'm at. And if anyone wants to jump in here in the chat, we'll read that later. If you're listening to this after the fact on audio, I do apologize. But before we jump into all of that, you can join and get all of these notifications on the Discord page. Link in the description as well. Don't forget as well, we are affiliated with the WWE shop. We have an affiliate link. You click that link. It's also in the description. You click that link. You order like normal, and we get a small percentage of the total. I think Liv has a new shirt. Rhea has a new shirt. CM Punk vintage shirts are back. EO, I think, just got a new shirt. If you like EO, you know, Ethan Page has a new shirt. You know, go get your NXT merch if you're an NXT fan like me, and all of that. And then finally, last sort of housekeeping thing, watch the Beyond the Junkyard podcast with James and Cody live on the Junkyard Media Group YouTube page every Thursday night, 9 p.m. Eastern. They had a show last night. I didn't watch it. Wasn't paying attention to it. I might go back and check that out when I'm done with this. But so let's jump in here. And so let's start where this really started on Monday. And that was basically the Pat McAfee show got hacked into by the Wyatts. And they came on again. And that's where they delivered the tape this week. Now, I have a couple issues with this happening, and the first of which is you just hacked into ESPN. You expect me to, one, to believe that, but two, if you had the ability all this whole time to hack into, you have the technological ability to hack into ESPN, why are we showing these tapes on VHS? Y'all can't just hack into Raw. I'm sure it's easier to hack into Raw's production trailer than ESPN, right? So you see the hokiness here. Like, it's hard to believe that happened, right? And so, but my bigger thing is, and I get this as like a cross brand, like Pat gets the benefit because wrestling fans may watch in, and his show's going to be shown, or they can talk about his podcast on Raw, and WWE gets a benefit because there's millions of people who watch Pat's show that maybe, you know, they could try to take. But let me ask you this question. Let me ask you this question. If you're not a wrestling fan and you were sitting there and you're watching Pat McAfee, I think he was talking to Jeff Passan. I don't know what sport he covers. Don't really know. That's irrelevant, right? But you're watching Pat McAfee's show. Like, I'm assuming 80, let's go a little bit conservative and say like 70% of his audience probably doesn't watch wrestling and probably watch Pat McAfee for his, how funny he is and his sports takes, right? And to see what's going on in the world of sports, right? So a large portion of that audience probably doesn't care about WWE, right? And so my question then is if you're not a wrestling fan and you're watching Pat talk sports, and then all of a sudden you get sort of bombarded by this spooky, corny, hokey wrestling gimmick, does that not make you maybe turn off the television? Does that not sort of confuse you a little bit? You want to build WWE's audience by using Pat McAfee's show, I'm all for that. But I think there's better storylines you can do than the Wyatt Six to get that across to where the product doesn't look sort of circusy. Because what you did is you put the weirdos, you put the monsters that dress in animal suits. You put the weirdos on the show, and the sports bros probably aren't going to be all too thrilled with that. You know what you do, right? That garners an audience. You put Cody Rhodes on there, and you have the Bloodline Attack, right? You put CM Punk or Drew McIntyre on the show and have that story play out there. I think that does well. You put Seth Rollins on there. You put, you know, Roman Reigns on here, or you know, Paul Heyman or Triple H. You put someone that you could do an actual interview in, and then it maybe push the story that we put Rhea Ripley in there and have her call out Liv Morgan, right? You put like an actual like big star that's in a story that's not going to confuse the casual sort of sports bro. and would actually want to make them watch the product and not think that it's, you know, the childish fake stuff, right? Because for a lot of people, they don't want wrestling intertwined with their sports. Because sports, right, first off, this again is kind of my big argument with even having it in Raw in the first place, is when you sports are presented as if it's real life, right? Like, because it is real life. It's a real event that happens, and sports happen in real time in our universe, and we exist alongside of sports. But a wrestling comes along, and especially something like the Wyatt Six, and it's sort of mystical. And for anyone who doesn't believe that it's not already crossed into that supernatural gimmick, I don't think you're reading it the same way I'm reading it. And so you have like the spooky thing pop onto the screen. The blue screen pops up and it says you lied. Again, that's the second time this happened, but we have no answers as to what Pat lied about. Or is he talking to Gable? Like who lied? What did he lie about? Like, there's no answers there. Right? And so there's just a lot going on with this Pat McAfee thing. And so I just, yeah, it's one of those things that I don't see the benefit of putting the Wyatt Six on McAfee, because the hardcore like Wyatt fans aren't watching sports. And if they, and I'm not going to say all of them, but like I would imagine from some of the interactions that I've had with wrestling fans online, a lot of them aren't the biggest of sports fans. So I hardly think that they're going to be watching ESPN at noon to watch Pat McAfee talk about sports. I hardly think, right? Especially if all they're going to get to please their sort of the wrestling fan in them is like a 30-second gimmick. Like, I hardly doubt that someone that's a hardcore wrestling fan that maybe doesn't care about the world of sports is going to tune in for 30 seconds. But I also think that this also sort of alienates the sports fans who come there for sports content, and then they get sort of forced into having this gimmick pushed on them. And so I get the marketing and I get the cross branding and all of that. That type of relationship is a win-win for McAfee and the WWE. I just don't think the execution of putting the Wyatt Six on there is beneficial. I think you could put Cody on there and have him get attacked, or put Randy Orton on there and have him get attacked, or put McIntyre on there and have him call out Punk. Something like that. Put a Sami Zayn on there and talk about his career and stuff like, but just having like the spooky, the lights go out and there's a tape sitting on the desk. That's just a little bit too much for me to believe that sports fans are going to want to tune into Monday Night Raw because of that. So then let's get to what happened on Raw. So the tape we get, I believe this was what was aired first, with the tape with Eric Rowan, and exactly what we thought it was going to be, right? It's sort of his humanization of who he is and his character and why he's in the group, and essentially it just comes down to, I lost two brothers. I lost my family. Of course, mentioning Bray and Brody. And while that's a heartfelt segment, and it was well done, production again, very done, very well done, I just don't, to me, trying to convince me on who these characters are still doesn't answer the question I want answered. Why did you do what you did? Okay, you're telling me who you are, you're telling me why you're part of this group and that you found family, but I already knew that. I already knew why you're a part of the group. I want to know why you murked the locker room. Right? So I'm still sitting here thinking, instead of the QRs, there's two ways you could have done it. The original way I've been saying they should have done it is, instead of the QR codes for 2 months, air these videos. That's a way you could do it. But there's also, I thought of another way you could have done this. right? Because again, so essentially, we'll get back to the second way here in a second, because the second segment essentially was Gable calling Bo Dallas to the ring. He comes down, he gets jumped by the Creeds, and the three of them, Gable and the Creeds, beat down Bo Dallas, who sort of laughs off the attack. Gable gets pissed off, the lights go out, and then the rest of the Wyatt Six, or really the Wyatt Five, but the other four members come down. They, right now, they're in this individual segment. I would have even booked it differently, just using what we know in this segment itself. Instead of having them take the long walk from the back and letting Gable and the Creeds escape, like, to me, that's kind of weakening the gimmick. I would have had Gable and the Creeds in the ring. You know, the lights go out, they're looking for a way of escape. And every time they turn to a different rope to escape from, there's four ropes, four other characters. Why are they not sitting on the apron? Why are we just allowing the Creeds and Gable to escape yet again from this group? But let's go back, like, because I've always said that this should have been booked differently, right? So I said these tapes should have been aired. But what if, because my question then is, it's Adam Pearce. You're apparently holding an investigation on the massacre. And you had all five of them in the arena for the first time since the massacre. Why are you not punishing them? Where are the police at? This is a crime. Right? Like, if it was me, I'm having the police there. Right, unless you want me to believe that Adam Pearce doesn't know who's in the arena, and these people just magically poofed out of thin air, crossing into again that supernatural thing, right? But where are the police? Because imagine this. Imagine, like, let's go back to the massacre week one. We see them this debut, right? Imagine they're standing on the stage, and Adam Pearce walks out with security and police. And they arrest the Wyatt Six. They arrest all five of them. The night of the massacre, they get arrested. And then these tapes of Uncle Howdy and Bo Dallas and now of Rowan, these tapes are, you know, they're claiming insanity. And these tapes are sort of their psych evaluation. I would buy into that a little bit more than what we're getting right now. It could be something. There's a movie. I don't know how many people saw it. It's called Nefarious, and essentially that's the whole plot of the film. It's like a single set. They're in a jail cell. The dude is claiming insanity. It's the day of his execution, and essentially he's claiming insanity that he's possessed by a demon. And so the psych evaluating doctor comes in, and he's trying to talk to this guy, but instead of actually talking to the actual human, can't think of his name off the top of my head, he's talking to the demon Nefarious, right? And this whole conversation is essentially this psych doctor trying to asking the demon to prove himself that he's a demon, right? And I'm not, that's as much as I'm going to give you. I highly recommend watching it. I highly recommend, like, because that's essentially what Uncle Howdy is. He's an evil guy who sort of, you know, who sort of possesses Bo Dallas. It's sort of like a demonic type character, right? And so I don't know where we go from here. Everyone's assuming three-way, you know, with Gacy and Rowan and Dexter versus Gable and the Creeds. And maybe you put Ivy versus Nikki Cross. Are any of you actually excited for that? Can we be honest with ourselves for a minute? Right. Y'all are willing to sacrifice Otis versus, like, we're coming up to SummerSlam. And 2 months ago, we were getting hype for Otis versus Chad Gable for the Intercontinental Championship and what that could have been. And the big moment of Otis finally going over and getting singles gold, going over Chad Gable, after Gable had a 2-month run with the belt. And instead of that, we have, what do we have? Instead of that, what do we have? We have Chad Gable potentially fighting monsters. Spooky monsters. Completely destroyed. Otis hasn't even been on TV in a meaningful sense since this. Neither has Tozawa or Maxine. So you build them up. You don't give them the payoff. And you just sort of put them back in catering. Right. And then I'm not hating the IC title picture right now with Braun and Sammy. But guess what? Braun, if we did this way where Gable beat Sammy, Otis turned on Gable, and then it's Otis and Gable at SummerSlam, guess what? Braun could have been in Money in the Bank where he won, and instead of throwing it away for McIntyre, I get it progresses the story, but this thing's getting played out with McIntyre, man. Every time, I get Punk's whole thing is like, he's not going to be champion when I'm here, but it's getting a little bit played out. Like, if the goal was still going to be Drew versus Punk at SummerSlam with no title on the line, why did Drew have to win Money in the Bank? He could have stuck Braun Breaker in there, gave Braun Breaker the briefcase, and then had him sort of haunt Gunther or Priest with the briefcase until Bash at Berlin or whatever. Because ultimately, Braun Breaker, I'm already going to predict this, what are we, 6-7 months out from Royal Rumble? Braun Breaker's winning Royal Rumble. And I think he's going to WrestleMania, and he's going to I think he wins the belt at Mania in Vegas. I do. I think there's a potential chance that I think he wins at SummerSlam, the IC belt. I think he keeps it for a few months. WWE has this thing where they like to have like the hometown hero. I think he defends at Bad Blood in Atlanta because that's near from where he's from. He went to college at Kennesaw State, which is in the greater Atlanta area. So I think he's gonna definitely have a role at Bad Blood, possibly against Dragunov, possibly against Kaiser, who knows, right? But back to the sort of the Wyatt Six thing, like, where are we going? Where are we going? See, so this was a test. I wanted to do this live. And obviously, you know, 11 a.m. when I'm doing this live isn't really the best time on a Friday to do this. Probably should have done it at night, but this was the only time I was really free. So again, those listening to audio may be a little confused. So there's really no comments to explain this, which is what I sort of assumed, which is fine. But if you listen to this after the fact, explain to me what I'm missing here. What should I like about this gimmick? Because at this point, I mean, I like the production. I think for the most part, the production of the tapes and some of that's pretty good. But I'm not gonna get wet in the pants because we finally get them in the ring. They didn't even do anything, though. You just let them escape. So we don't really build anything. It's still the same sort of spooky gimmick that doesn't really proceed to anything. And so we're going to continue down. We're 5 weeks into this. We're 5 weeks into this. And we finally get them in the ring, but we're going to continue down this path. I'm telling you, we're going to probably get 3 more weeks of tape. So we're going to be 2 months into this, and all we get are promo tapes before we get a match. And eventually we're going to end up with insert sponsor, insert blacklight. We're going to get Mountain Dew blacklight match sponsored by God knows who. That's where I see this going based on the current trajectory. None of this titillates the senses over here. It's all the same old recycled Bray Wyatt stuff. And yes, I'm sure Bray is happy and proud of his brother, and I'm happy and proud of Taylor. Like, this is not hating on Taylor Rotunda or anybody else involved in this. I just don't think it's worth, like, how does Chad Gable benefit from this? How do the Creeds, now you throw the Creeds in this thing. How do the Creeds benefit from this outside of getting TV time? But now they're going to be stuck in a who knows how long feud with the Wyatts. So now they're not in the title picture. Gable's not in a title picture because he's battling the Wyatts when Gable should be IC champion. How does this benefit any of them? Gable did all this work getting Alpha Academy over, building up this feud to turn heel, only to have a... The Creeds joined them. Now, I don't know what the live reaction was, but my reaction to watching it was like, oh, well, we kind of knew this was coming. And it wasn't one of like relief of, holy shit, the Creeds are with Gable. This is what we always wanted. It was one of, well, shit, now the Creeds are stuck in the Wyatt feud. So I just don't see how this benefits anybody. In the long term, I don't see how this benefits anybody. So that's the question that I'm asking. I'm going to try to keep it short. I really didn't plan to do this for very long. Because we didn't have an episode on Tuesday, though, I am going to go ahead and do what we typically do on Tuesdays, with Thirsty Tuesday. So let's tell you the winners from last week. All right, so let's remind you all of last week. So it was Gio Vinci versus Joe Hendry. And, oh my word, Joe Hendry won, beating out Giovanni Vinci between Lexus King and Carmelo Hayes. Carmelo won between Trick and Hook. It's Trick Williams. And between Punk and Hammerstone is CM Punk. So that's Punk, Trick Williams, Carmelo Hayes, and Joe Hendry advancing to the next round. So this week's matchup, which is going to be a little bit short of a vote, you'll have till Tuesday to do the vote. But this week's matchup is going to be these four matchups for this week. So the first one, so because Wavy D's not here, I'm not going to say who I'm voting for. We'll all vote in the Discord this week. But it's going to be Roman Reigns versus LA Knight. Yeah. Speaking of someone who didn't benefit from a Wyatt feud, LA Knight. Roman Reigns versus LA Knight. Ace Austin from TNA versus Ricky Starks from AEW. Cody Rhodes versus Orange Cassidy. And Ludwig Kaiser versus AEW's Wardlow. There's going to be these four matchups for this week. Outside of that, I ain't got much left planned for you guys. This is going to be short. Hoping maybe someone would come into the live and interact with me. Again, thank you all for listening. This has been another episode of the Slapping Me Wrestling Podcast. My name is We Too Deep. I will see you all on Tuesday. Brother, I'm going run a wild Hulk Hogan. If I like get some moment, I'll make sure it's an explosion. Cause lately I've been